Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Once I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Was just recently deceased. A real cool mom, musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Now come with me and fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together, you and I are brave.
Welcome to Breaking Broadway. The next three episodes are live from the Broadway Cruise, where I got to interview some fabulous people. Reeve Carney, Janine Tesori, and Henry Kapersky. The Broadway Cruise is so much fun. I highly recommend it if you're a Broadway fan. There were so many shows, I couldn't even go to all of the shows that there were. And there are really, really fun theme nights, like dress as your favorite musical theater character, or on pajama night. I did not know. I went wearing Christmas pajamas, but everyone else was wearing show pajamas. So much fun. Karaoke, tons of activities, autograph signings. And I got to do this panel live, this episode of Breaking Broadway live on the cruise ship. First up is my interview with Reeve Carney.
Hey everyone, welcome to Breaking Broadway. Guess where I am? I'm on the Broadway Cruise! This cruise is so amazing. If you haven't heard about it, you have to check it out. It's so much fun. I want to welcome to the show my next guest whose show like blew me away. Recent star of Hadestown on Broadway. Welcome Reeve Carney!
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Did everyone see Reeve's show? Your show blew me away. Like you're on another level. Like it's so artistic and just, I was looking around like, wait a second, where are the other musicians? Oh no, it's all you. You're doing everything up there. And also let me just tell the listeners. So Reeve did this show of Broadway songs, but you're listening and you don't know what it is, and then you find it's like, oh, that's what it makes you laugh because it's such a different version and so cool and a different take, and the things you do with your voice, it's just phenomenal. You're so talented.
Thank you. Look who's talking. I got to see your show yesterday. Thank you so much.
So this show is basically for people trying to break into Broadway, and I would love to hear about your story. Did you always know you wanted to be an actor?
I didn't necessarily know initially because I was very shy. So my mom actually had the brilliant idea to put me in acting, like improvisational acting classes at the age of 5. So I started doing that. I grew up in New York City in Manhattan, in the basically Greenwich Village. And so this class was in Soho, and that sort of broke me out of my shell. We get to, you know, wear costumes, put on makeup, and do whatever we wanted to. And that really helped. But then, I told them that I wanted to be an actor officially when I was 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I've been kind of focused on that, I guess, to some degree since then.
Did something happen, or was it just from taking those improv classes?
I think it was the improv classes, and also I had a friend who, at my school, a Little Red Schoolhouse in New York City, that went to California to become an actor, I think, when he was 7 or 8, and I thought, oh, yeah, that would be kind of cool. So I think that inspired me a bit. But then music, at the age of 12, I picked up a guitar, and then it was just... Really, because at that time, and in when was this? This was 5 years ago. No, but you know, in the '90s, it wasn't really. You weren't really. I don't know. Unless you were going straight into musical theater to be an actor in either film or television and play music, sometimes they would think of you as just a musician trying to act, and it didn't. They didn't take you as seriously. So, I'm so glad we're in a new era where. It appears as though people really welcome people.
Yes, people can play.
Yeah,
they want
doing
that.
Doing both is really nice.
So what was your first professional job?
Oh,
did
that's
you go
cool.
to school?
Yeah.
Did you go to college for acting?
I went to college for jazz guitar. I went to University of Southern California.
Oh, and, for jazz guitar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I technically am still on a leave of absence because... I didn't finish my degree there, but it was great. I mean, it was just very expensive. So because I had worked as a child, there are certain rules that you can get certain financial aid if the money tuition is being paid for by your parents, but if it's being paid for by the person actually attending, there are less things in place to protect those funds. So I realized, wow, this was very expensive this first year. So I sort of took a risk and thought, you know, maybe I could make like a quarter of what I would need to make to survive on, but it might be kind of nice to try that as opposed to spending 10 times what I could afford to spend. But it was an amazing education. Even just 1 year there was amazing.
So you were a child actor then?
Yes, and so my first acting job, which actually got me my SAG card, was, I'm actually not sure which one it was, because I was they used to call us extras. Mm-hmm. Performers.
Yeah, background performers.
Uh-huh. And I was an extra in 2 Matt Dillon films. I don't know why I was in both of those films, because I wasn't like his stunt double or anything. Right? But like the first one was called The Saint of Fort Washington, which came out in 1993, I think. And we filmed it. I was only there for 2 days. But like, it was like 1992. So I got my SAG card in 1992. Through either Santa Fort Washington or Mr. Wonderful, both Matt Dillon films.
Okay. And then what happened?
Then I tried and tried. This is what's so funny, because I kept auditioning for things, and I really, by the age of 14, I was really kind of, by the age of 12, I was kind of thinking about not doing it so much anymore because of guitar. I was just so focused on music at that point and going to school for that and taking private lessons and whatnot. But at the age of 14, I had pretty much given up. And this is kind of a cool, I guess, lesson for people maybe in some ways, because that's the time I got my first principal role in a film, which felt like an eternity, because I'd been, like, I guess, professionally trying to act for 6 of the 14 years that I'd been on Earth. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like, man, am I ever going to get a job? But then I booked the part to play the young Ethan Hawke in a film called Snow Falling on Cedars.
Oh.
So that was my first principal role. Yeah, that was
At 14, huh?
Yeah. And that was really cool. It's crazy to think that Ethan was 26 when I got to hang out with him and meet him. And actually came one night. I just realized that. I don't know if I've ever told anyone this. There was a place called The Yale in Vancouver. The film was directed by an incredible director by the name of Scott Hicks, who's still a dear friend of mine. But Scott Hicks and Ethan Hawke had heard that I was going to a blues jam session at the Yale in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they both came out that night, but then I was turned away at the door because I wasn't allowed, because I wasn't 21.
Oh.
And so they're like, hey, man, we came to see you last night. And so that was kind of embarrassing, but also really nice that they actually came out.
We'll be back with Breaking Broadway right after this message. You know how I always talk about creating your own work, working with your friends? Well, I don't just tell you to do it, I do it too. So I created this show with Laura Bell Bundy and Marissa Jared Winokur. We all starred in the original cast of Hairspray together, and we created the show Mama, I'm a Big Girl Now. It's touring all over. We're going to be at the Alden in McLean, Virginia on June 8th. I hope to see you there. So then was Spider-Man, would you say, would that be your big break?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I was in the music world, I was performing a lot in Los Angeles in particular. I also, one of my dearest friends is a guitarist named Johnny Lang. Have you guys heard of Johnny Lang? Oh, yes. He's incredible. So I was a huge fan of Johnny. I met him when I was 14. He was 16. He had a big record at the time called Lie to Me. And he was a mentor of mine at the time. And about 7 years after of knowing him, he asked me to join his band. So I was Johnny's guitar player for about 3 years on the road between like 2005 and 2007 or 8. And during that time, I was writing songs and touring around, or actually playing locally with my band. But at that time, I was signed by Jimmy Iovine to Interscope Records. And that tour, or that signing, allowed us to go on tour with Johnny Lang as his opening act.
Wow.
And so that is what I was really focused on. Mm-hmm. And through that, my dear friend TV Carpio, who was doing a film called Across the Universe with Julie Taymor, said, "You've got to see my friend Reeve play." And so Julie came to see our band, and that is how I got involved with Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Wow, that is such a cool story, and like really great for our listeners, because it's just such a different way to get to Broadway. You didn't even like audition.
Yeah, I did actually have to audition.
But they found you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like 3 months of crazy auditions that included, you know, acting, singing, and like insane things like strength, proving your strength. Like I had to climb ropes with no legs and like 30-foot ropes and all these weird things. But
just for trying out?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, and like do like gymnastics stuff. I didn't have to do any somersaults, thankfully, or backflips, but...
Wow. Okay, so you all have heard probably the stories about Spider-Man. It's kind of infamous. What do you feel like is one of your best stories to share?
That's a good question. I mean, for me, it was a really positive experience. Oh. I mean, the people were amazing. It really was a great blessing for me, like, being a part of that show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I had some funny costume mishaps because of having to wear so many harnesses under my pants. I remember going out there and singing some, I think it was probably Rise Above, and only to realize that my fly was down and there were like harness straps coming out of my jeans. And that was a little awkward, but I'll try to think of some more.
We were talking backstage about self-tapes and auditioning, and I was like, oh my gosh, save it, that's so good, save it for the show. So, what were you saying about auditioning and self-tapes?
I really like being in the room. Like, I miss that, and so most of the auditions, at least for me these days, are through self-tapes, where you basically just do the best you can and then send it into what appears to be a black hole where you most of the time don't hear anything at all. But I think in that way it's sort of important to know the things that are right for you and the things that you're right for. And I try to do a bit more of that, just because there are things you kind of have an instinct for, the things that
once you've been in the business. I think when you start out you have to say yes to everything.
Oh yeah.
But now you're at a place where you can be more picky.
Yeah, I think also for me it's because I have so many interests, I guess you'd say. Like, I'm fortunate that I love playing concerts, and so in that time if I don't feel like I'm right for something, I'm not necessarily that. You don't want to be there's someone else who is right for it.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know if it's necessarily makes sense for me to put my hat in the ring for something that someone else, that belongs to someone else. Because I can just, go be focusing on some music for a little bit, and that's what I tend to kind of go back and forth between those two things.
Yeah, we also mentioned that we were talking about concerts, and you have to make an album of that.
Oh, my that mom concert. Said that. She's been telling me that.
It's yeah. so good. So you have to make an album of that. But I was asking Reeve if he has done that concert around a lot, and you were starting to tell me about how you've been booking your own concerts?
Sometimes. I mean,
how do you do that? Well, I want to know.
Coming from the rock and roll world, my team has booked me in that world for so long. I mean, the Broadway crews came through my agent. It just depends on the gig, really. But I have some relationships with some people in New York, and they've connected me with some other people. And so sometimes I just, and I find that the people are really nice to speak with and directly. And
but you, so you sometimes just I do, reach yeah. out to. Venues?
Usually it's that they reach out to me and ask me, you know, how it works.
Oh, usually
they'll
reach out
to you. Oh, yeah, sure, like whatever, figure something out. But then, yeah, it's a combination. Sometimes I go through my agent. For acting, it's all through my agent.
Right. But do you, like, try to take control of your situation and try to pursue it in a different way?
Oh, with the concerts?
Yeah.
I'm starting to think about that. I mean, I do want to reach out to my agent, actually, and see if they do book more cabaret-type spaces,
yes.
because I've never really, I don't know if they've done, I haven't done that with them, so it would be cool. Because my agency, it went through a lot of change. Actually, this is interesting, maybe a little bit. So I'm with an agency called Paradigm, and I'm really only with them because I was with an agency called Monterey Peninsula Artists. I was really excited to be with them because they represented Aerosmith, The Grateful Dead, I think Fish, a bunch of other amazing groups. And so that's because I was with them. They got bought by Paradigm in 2008. Sorry, this might be really boring.
No, good for our listeners.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And so then I didn't mention this. Before Spider-Man, Julie Taymor didn't think I was right for that. This is not me. This sounds like I'm complimenting myself, and I'm not trying to at all. Because it was about a hair length thing. She's like, oh, no, he's a prince. He looks like a prince because I had this like longer hair and something. And she's like, I don't see the Peter Parker thing at first. That's what she said. So she had me audition for The Tempest, her Tempest, and I ended up getting that part. So that was my first job with Julie Taymor.
Oh.
And at that time, I remember a script showed up at my front door that said Paradigm. And I was like, oh, what's this? And he's like, oh, this is your new agency. I was like, I didn't know I had an agent. So that was kind of cool. That's how that...
How did you originally get your agent?
Oh, well, I had an agent as a kid. I was with APA when I was a little kid. And but then...
Did your parents just send in headshots? Do you
that's
remember
a good question.
How you
My
got
mom's
them?
Right there. She might know.
I
do know this story. My mom's an incredible jewelry designer, and her company's called Fables Jewelry, fablesintheair.com. You can go... But... Yeah, my sister was like a free model because she put the jewelry on her and was like, oh, let me, then it's just like, I forget if my mom took the pictures or someone else took the pictures, but someone saw those photos and said, your kid should model. And then my mom said, well, my son has told me he wants to be an actor. She wanted to keep us out of that business because my parents are both in it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, be a doctor or a lawyer. So they used to want that. But that's how we met, this like modeling / acting agency, and I got in through that. I was actually the Macy's size 8 fit model when I was 8 years old. That was like one of my first gigs.
Wow.
They don't even take photos of you. It's just like basically any clothes that some of you children would have bought in like 1992 from Macy's, and boys' clothes, they would have been fit on me, I guess. So it would have been based on my build. Not now, my build back then, yeah.
That doesn't sound like a fun job.
I didn't mind it.
Really?
It was kind of, the people were really nice. They'd just stand there for like an hour or two and take
measures.
I know, it sounds, I don't know why it didn't bother me. Maybe now I might not like it as much, but.
How do you deal with rejection?
That's probably hard for everybody, I think. I think you have to have a strong... I mean, I think having some sort of... Not to be whatever, everyone has their own thing, but having some sort of spiritual life, I think, is helpful. I think you have to, have something, bigger outside, more important outside of yourself, I think, helps. But yeah, it's not easy. You know, that happens to everybody, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've even heard stories about people like Michael Fassbender or like having... It's like, wow, how does that happen to these guys? But, you know, it's something, yeah, you do deal with that. But yeah, I think, you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't exactly know what you do, but...
Do you have... any good rejection stories? Do you any stand out in your head? Like,
oh, yeah.
Ooh, that was a
funny one. Oh,
that was
gosh.
A bad one.
Yeah, the ones that are funnier are better, right?
I'm trying. True. To, yeah.
I do remember I auditioned for a few times for Jesus Christ Superstar Live. Did you guys see that? But they first brought me in for Jesus, and then I had a self tape. That was a really fun one. And fun. I mean, fun. It's a great score. So I mean, I love that score. And that I felt that went well, but they had cast someone else in that role, and then they brought me in for Judas next, but I was on tour with Johnny Lang at the time playing guitar for him, and I flew in to Bernie Telsey's office, and I flew in just for that, and with like no sleep, got there and got to the big A flat on the Jesus, whatever, and I just like. What, that Tanya Harding movie had just come out. I remember telling them, like, yeah, I really didn't stick that landing. Sorry, guys. But, like, and, so I felt pretty, that was not great. But I remember one of the producers just sitting there, and I was looking, after it happened, he looked at it, he was like, and, yeah, that was not great. But then they brought me back in again, though, and then I didn't end up getting those parts, but I love that score. So that's a great show. Yeah.
Do you feel like you are able to let go right away, or
not really? No? If you really want something, it's hard. Yeah. It's almost like the residue, the echo of the. It's a tick, 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 tick. You feel like it. It's good though. I always hear it's good to just. Even if I don't hear anything back, if I really like something, mm-hmm. I'll be thinking about it. I can think about it for like a month or something. Like, oh, like, am I going to... But I always hear it's much better to just
I try and let it go. Yeah. I mean, of course, there are those ones that you can't let go.
Yeah.
But sometimes for those, when I get like a really bad rejection story, I'll just like play really sad music. This is what I used to do. Now I'm kind of over it. But I used to like let myself have a day where I would just cry it out.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's it. I'm done with it and I can move on.
Yeah. I don't do that much of that, but that makes sense. Maybe it's like, but that probably helps.
That's all my conversation with Reeve for today. Next week, Janine Tesori will be joining Reeve.
Thank you so much for listening. If you would like me to come to your school or theater group and give a masterclass or a talk back, please reach out at carriebutlercoach.com. If you like this podcast, subscribe and leave a rating. And in the comments, let me know what topics you want me to cover. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.